Good day to you, and welcome to the podcast for the Union Street Meeting House. In this podcast, we will be sharing messages from our weekly worship services. Union Street Meeting House is a Christian ministry that introduces people of all ages to Jesus Christ and recalls those who once knew him back into an intimate, vibrant, living relationship with him. We are a house for Christian fellowship and personal growth. You are always welcome here at Union Street Meeting House. Let's go into this week's message right now.
Open your Bibles with me this morning, if you have them. If you do not, we'll read that. To Psalm 121. Psalm 121. The Lord is so good. Listen, I loved it when I would be able to ask Pastor Bill questions, and I would say things like, well, how did this work, or what did you do with that, or how did that work? One of the things I said to him was, did you and Rick kind of get your heads together and figure out what songs you wanted to put with the scriptures, and you know, so it would bolster your word up and that type of thing? And he'd say, no, I had no idea what Rick was doing. He had no idea what I was doing. It was purely a Holy Spirit thing. And I think I honestly believe this. So we started the Orchard in 2014. I believe there was one time that he came to me and said, could you do a song for me this weekend? But that was it. We never did anything. And it always amazed me that the songs that were picked and the word that was given, it was just knitted together. Can I say to you this morning that we did that song and I picked that song for Saturday night and I thought, well, we'll do it this morning too. And this scripture, Psalm 121, I just picked last night. Now, maybe it's because we sang it and it was resonating. Maybe, I don't know. I would love to tell you that I remember the scriptures like Pastor Carl, but I do not. But let's read what it says this morning. And if nothing else, we have these things in our life, I believe, that sometimes God will put before us to like a breadcrumb to say you're on the right path, or this is good, or he'll confirm what we've done through a little something that nobody knew about, or we had a word in our heart and someone came along and said kind of the same thing and God said, yep, that's what I'm talking about. You with me? I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. That's the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we bless you this morning. God, we pray that we will have an attitude of gratitude. We pray that our hearts and our eyes will look to you and you alone for our answers and our solutions. Father, we ask for forgiveness because we know there are many times that we handle things ourselves or even listen to the voice of others when we should be crying out to you, God. So this morning we lift our eyes to you. We ask that you bless us, Lord. We know that you provide the solutions for our life, that we may have a fruitful life, that we may have success, as it said, but significance is more. And so, Lord, we know that that's a word that you understand because you understand our frame. You understand our identity. Lord, it's us that have a problem with it. So, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Speak to every person in here and let them know that they are loved by you. They can trust you and have faith in you, and that you will deliver them in their time of need. Lord, it don't always look like we think it should. We can't understand those things, but who are we to even try and fathom the ways of God? Lord, our job is to trust you. We do that this morning, and we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Zechariah 4:6 says this, then he said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, this morning to Deuteronomy 20. Deuteronomy 20. Read after Numbers. Take a moment, it's okay. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Deuteronomy 20, 1 through 4. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. When you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Now, I would like to think when I read that I have a part in that now. And I have a greater appreciation for those who've been pastors and what they desire to do. And we desire for the church to be stronger, for you to be in a place, if the enemy's coming against you, that you'll stand and stand firm, that you'll have the answer before the question is asked. I believe the Lord gives that to us. God says, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted." Church, listen. We're coming to a time that I think things are going to get tougher for the body of Christ. Pastor Carl talks about it, that there is a shift or a transition that's going on, that there'll be, if we're not careful, like China, we won't be able to walk in the street and proclaim the gospel. I don't know that. Pray that God never lets us get there, but we need to be prepared. And so can I say to you this morning, don't be faint-hearted. It's not the role of a Christian. Don't be afraid. No fear. Well, that's easy for you to say, and I get that. When you know where your help comes from, certainly helps you not be afraid. Don't panic. Certainly don't tremble before the enemy. Satan comes, rattles his little sword. We want to tremble. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies. What's he fight for you for? The scripture says it, to save you. We've been looking at Job. I'm going to read something out of Job. This is impromptu. And I had someone text me this scripture a couple weeks ago to encourage me somehow. I'm asking the Lord, like, exactly. I think I got an idea. Job and his friends have all talked about what all's gone wrong. And then finally, God decides to speak. And in verse 39:19, he says this. This is God speaking. "Do you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like the locust? His majestic snorting is terrible. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons. He laughs at fear and is not as dismayed, and he does not turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, and the flashing spear and javelin, with shaking and rage, he races over the ground. He does not stand still at the voice of the trumpet. As often as the trumpet sounds, he says, 'Aha!' And he sensed the battle from afar and the thunder of the captains and the war cry." Talking about a horse. Aren't they majestic? I love that movie, The War Horse. If you haven't seen it, it's a good one. Proverbs 21:31 says this. And I'll say this, as majestic as the horse is, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. We've talked about that. There are things that we must do in our lives that God has not called us just to sit by and let Him take care of everything. That's not how it works. He calls on us to do our part. He does His part. And what a wonderful team we make. I don't know about you, but I try to stay away from football best I can. I guess I can go till 3 o'clock today. There's no game on. I feel like the punter on a football team, on his team. But boy, am I glad to get to touch the ball every once in a while. Isn't that our attitude? Shouldn't that be how it is? When we say we're on God's team and He just takes care of it all, but we have a part to play and we have a part to do. Horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to God. Joshua 1:9. Moses has died, and the Lord spoke to Joshua, and He tells Joshua to arise and cross the Jordan to the land I am giving you. And He tells Joshua this. Now listen, remember the story. The spies went in. 10 of the 12 came out with a bad report. Oh, there's giants in the land. There's grapes the size of who know what. We could never, ever take this land. Joshua and Caleb says, yes, we can. God rewards them. Wonderful. But He tells Joshua this, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. This is a word for us this morning. And in verse 9, the Lord says this to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not trouble or be dismayed for the, do not tremble or be dismayed for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Can I share with you this morning when we have said yes to Christ and we have repented and been forgiven of our sins and we have become, as the church would say, born again, as Jesus would say, born again, that God is with you forever? That Christ in you, the hope of glory, is with you. He will go with you, whether you like it or not, wherever you go. This is a word for us today. We're going to need the God. We're going to need God to go with us wherever we go. We're going to need the Lord. There's a battle raging today against the souls of men. There is a real enemy doing everything he can possibly do to destroy life. He himself rebelled against God and was cast into hell, and he is doing everything that he possibly can to take as many souls with him as he possibly can. Now, sometimes the church is asleep or a slumber on this issue, not realizing there's an enemy. Your friends that you've been praying for, your children that you've been praying for, your family, your coworkers, even people that you don't know that you've been praying for, the enemy is trying to destroy them. This is not a game. He does this by many means, but first and foremost today, he has made his work in this time to attack the family. There's an assault on our marriages. There's an assault on our children. And there's an assault even on the mothers to convince him to destroy their own babies, even while they're in the safest place that they could ever be on this side of heaven. Now let's pause there. That's a hard word, and not everyone can receive it. But let me pause there. I want to make clear something, very clear on something. The Bible teaches there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning and you think you're the only one with a past, well, let me help you. You're not. We've all got them. Some worse than others, but we've all got a past. There's a reality that some of us in this room have experienced firsthand the deception of the devil, and we fell prey to the schemes of Satan and have been through experiences where choices were made, where great harm was done. And you know my story. I'm one of them for sure. I've been sinned against and I've sinned against others. Things that were done to me that I swore that I would never do to another, I did. Pastor Bill would say, listen, God hates divorce. He doesn't hate divorced people. I praise God for that. I don't mind telling you, it wasn't my will, but it still happened. It happens to us. We're still part of it. Can I say to you that even abortion, if we're making choices, yes, we're making choices, and I understand that, but sometimes it's not our will. There's a scheme of the enemy, and there's a liar. Now, remember walking into Planned Parenthood as a teen and the nurse in there saying to us, you can't have this baby. Oh, it'll destroy your parents. They're going to have to live with this in the community. You can't do this. These are words that were spoken, folks, a million and gazillion times over in our nation even. And they said, plus you'll ruin your lives. You'll ruin your career. Can you imagine someone telling me that? So there's a reality that some of us have been through and have experienced firsthand, the deception of an enemy who deceives and preys on those who do not know. Hear me clearly this morning. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And I take great comfort in that this morning. 1 John 1:9 tells us this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We tend to want to hang on to the first portion of that scripture. We want to say, hey, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive our sins. And we might even add that he also wants to make us righteous. But we often forget that he wants to cleanse us. He's the cleanser. You're cleansed by the blood. The power of the blood is cleansing. You know, many of our Orchard teaching talking about how the blood runs through the body and you put the blood pressure cuff on and you squeeze it off and what stays down here can't return back and be cleansed and it becomes ill and sore. And if you left it long enough, guess what happens? It dies. The blood is cleansing. Christ's blood is cleansing for us. God is the great reconciler. He desires reconciliation. Sin separates us from God, but thank God he made a way through Christ Jesus that we may come to the throne of grace and receive forgiveness and receive cleansing and receive righteousness. Through that confession and request for forgiveness, we receive it. Not only for forgiveness, but we are cleansed. Cleansed. You're made clean. Oh, not if you listen to the enemy. You did what? I know what you did. You were where? I know where you were. You are who? I know who you are. Can I tell you, Satan is a liar? He is a liar. He is a liar. We are cleansed. We are made clean. Settle it. Don't let the enemy beat you up for the past. It's over. It's done. It's behind us. Confession, forgiveness, cleansing. Listen, I just want to say this before we move on this morning. If that word is touching you in here this morning and you don't feel clean, settle it today. We'll pray with you. There are people in here who pray with you. Let's get it done. Listen, it's not just a cliche. It's how God operates. God hates the sin, not the sinner. And we've used it as a cliche, and the world even recognizes it as a cliche, and they don't understand it, but it's just true. He loves us. He loves you. Okay, aren't you glad? Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Y'all are quiet. Have I got the right group? Psalm 103. We're going to read 8 through 14. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about justice? Aren't you glad you didn't get justice? I certainly am. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. I don't know who needed to hear that. Maybe it was me. But I'm here to tell you that he loves you and your sin is separated from him as far as the east is from the west. And the Lord is good. Okay, now let's go back to the battle. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians 6 this morning. Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we know this scripture well, and every time we talk about spiritual warfare, this is the go-to scripture. And I'll remind you again, don't let familiarity keep you from knowing exactly what God's saying in His Word. Because we know that and we do that, even the pastors have trouble going back to this. I myself think, well, everybody knows this scripture. But do you know this scripture? Are you able to live with this scripture, doing the things that God says it will do for us? Verse 12 is what I want you to focus on this morning. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness. This is the battle that we're talking about this morning. So we see this physical battle go on in Samuel, and we're going to go back to it and look at it again. But the whole time we're looking at it, I want you to be thinking spiritual. Everything is just a picture of the spiritual. Rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, and spiritual forces of wickedness. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Listen, that person that's getting on your nerves, or that person in your family who ain't doing right, or that person who's just plain out sinning against you or someone you know, or sinning especially against God, our battle's not with them. There's a power. There's an enemy looking to take that person with him to hell. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, are not carnal, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Turn to your neighbor and say, my weapons are divinely powerful. Paul goes on to say in verse 5, we are destroying speculations. What? We are destroying speculations. Don't sound like you're cutting the head off of a giant. Maybe. We are destroying speculations and every lofty or every mindly thing that's raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is what Paul is saying. This is what Paul is teaching. He's saying, what is he saying? He's saying that this battle is a battle of the thoughts of your mind. The battle of your mind. It's the only place that enemy can have a place. I don't know how it happens, but he whispers to your spirit. And listen, some of these people who say the devil made them do it, I believe the devil made them do it. Now they're responsible. Hey, they're not getting out. But I'm telling you, his idea is destruction and to destroy. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ is to basically have a filter in your mind that simply says this. Oh, Lord, I wish I could have a great filter. And I don't. And you don't either. Some of you have pretty good ones because you've been at it a while. You've been in prayer. You've been in the presence of the Lord and he's made you stronger. To have a filter in your mind that says, if this is of Christ, let it in. If this is not of Christ, don't let it in. Imagine that every thought that you had, you're able to bring captive. What's that mean? It basically says, stop here. Are you of Christ? Yes. Come on in. Are you of Christ? No. Get thee behind me. Are you with me, church? This is the power that we need to walk with. This is what we need in our lives. We need to get so good at it that it's just happening. And I've seen it in people, so I know it's possible. And I want that. Take every thought captive. I want you to see how God demonstrates the spiritual battles with physical ones. And although we have very real physical battles in our life, our victory comes through the spiritual battles. Make no mistake about it. Things are going to happen to people's bodies and our bodies and even death, but that is nothing. It is the spirit of God and man. It is your spirit that God is concerned about, your soul, your very soul. And I want you to see how even the physical battle of David and Goliath is a way to show how we must fight. At least this is my opinion. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 again. While we turn there, I want to recap a few things. First of all, David was anointed by Samuel. We are anointed by Christ. Then David is obedient to his father and he is just doing his job. He is just serving. He's doing nothing spectacular. He's tending sheep. Are you kidding me? He's a shepherd. I think that would be great right now. I'd love to be in the middle of a field without a bunch of people around. Somebody say amen. It's okay. I love you. Just not that much. No, I say that. You hear me though? He's tending sheep. He's doing his job, whatever it is. He's asked to bring supplies to his brother. You know the story if you were here last week. If you don't, go back and read the beginning of 1 Samuel 17. Delivering supplies to his brother. And that's what we're doing. We're just doing our job, folks. We're walking the walk out. We're trying to be obedient to our father. We're trying to listen to what he says. We're trying to be in the place that he wants us. You know, the pig pen to the pulpit just dawned on me. You know, if he's not there with Clyde Betts and Sons, he probably doesn't meet Rick and Harold and have that relationship and all that got developed He's just there doing his job, slopping pigs. David's doing his job. You're doing your job, whatever it is. Being obedient while you're doing it. Serving others. David sees a need. He sees a cause. And we see causes all around us. We see needs all around us. He experiences negativity from his brother Eliab. We've talked about that. We all have Eliabs in our life. They're not really your enemy, but they're not really pushing you on your side. They're always negative. Always going to tell you what you should have, could have, or would have done. And then when you look in their life and you go, wait a minute. Look, scratch your head. Wait a minute. This person ain't even got a car to drive and they're trying to tell me something or whatever it is. You know what I'm trying to say. Eliabs. We experience negativity just like David. David has a talk with the king and he says to the king, don't worry. Don't worry about this uncircumcised Philistine. Why are you shaking in your boots over this? Church, why are you shaking in your boots over your problems? And he says, don't worry about it. I'll go. And we talk to our king and we have an Isaiah 6 moment where we say, woe is me, I've come undone. And then God purges our lips with a coal. And what is that? Somebody, what is it when that happens? Cleansing. We're cleansed. Understand your identity. You are cleansed. I don't care if you don't feel like it. You're cleansed. We say, here I am, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Well, that person's got a flat tire along the side of the road, but I'm in a hurry. No, here I am, send me. Let me help, God. We talk with our king and we tell him, send me. David uses his experiences. We talked about the lion and the bear and how he dealt with those. And I even brought up the fact that I don't know if that happened when he was anointed or when he wasn't anointed, but I told you it doesn't matter. God wants to use what you have. Nothing is wasted. He wants to use your past. Okay? He don't want you dwelling on it. He don't want you to forget it. He wants you to know this is what I've done and this is why I can speak to you and speak truth into your life because I've been through what you've been through. And I know where you're going if you don't stop. We're to use our experiences. David goes into battle being himself. Remember the king tries to give him his armor and David tries it on and says, I've not tested this. I'm not familiar with this. I don't understand this. Stop trying to be somebody else. God made you. Be yourself. David takes his stick. We all have to take our stick. What is your stick? We said. Then God provides the stones. And a message here, we are to trust God for our provision. Now, let's go back to our story. Look at 1 Samuel 17, and we'll wrap this up this morning. Pick up in verse 41. I feel like it's important to finish this out. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. Isn't that something? Now David's not just facing one. There's two of them out there. You think about that? You ever think about you got Satan and you got his minions and he has somebody working with him all the time? When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained David, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Verse 45. Now the table turns. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give you, and I will give the dead bodies of the armies of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Do you think David may have understood what Joshua was told? Do you think he may have understood what Moses has been told? The battle belongs to the Lord. And then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag, took from it a stone, and he slung it, struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And he struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. Listen, here we go again. David has gone out to do the work of God, and he does not have everything he needs to get the job done. He picks up stones on his way, and he gets out there and he says, I'm going to cut your head off. And he doesn't even have a sword. How does that make sense? Some of you need to start proclaiming what God's going to do in your life before you know how he's going to do it. Now, I'm not talking about a name and claim it. It's not what we're saying here. Make it clear. Don't leave this place saying this is a name and claim it. No, it's not. It's getting before God and the Holy Spirit speaking to you and say, this is what I plan to do in your life, so-and-so. Now, go get it done. David prevailed over the Philistine. Slinging a stone, he struck the Philistine, but there was no sword in David's hand. Verse 51, then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the slain Philistines lay along the way to Shaharim, even to Gath and Ekron. The sons of Israel returned from chastening the Philistines and plundered their camps. Then David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his tent. Now, when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this young man? And Abner said, by your life, O king, I do not know. The king said, you inquire whose son the youth is. So when David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, and the Philistine's head was in his hand. Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? And David answered, I'm the son of your servant, Jesse, Bethlehemite. And I see pictures. Now, this is kind of gaudy and ugly and probably from a male's perspective. I'm sorry. But I see pictures of us cutting off the heads of our problems and toting them around before the king and said, by the power of you, this is what we were able to do today. You understand what I'm saying? He brings it back to the king. He gives all the glory to God. Here's what I want you to know and understand this morning. The story of David and Goliath is a historical story. A real story of a real event that took place and is recorded in this Bible. But what I want you to understand and take away is that it is a realistic illustration of how God wants us to approach the battles in our lives. He wants us to have a faith in him to know that it's God's battle, it's his, and the victory is the Lord's. He wants us to walk in victory. Not because of what we've done, but just because of our obedience to him as we walk forward. He wants to bless you. There's no cursing from God to you. It's a blessing. He wants you to step out like David did and said, look, I'm not even exactly sure how I'm going to do this, but I'm not worried because I know that you go before me. And he had a stick. He picked up some stones. Enemy's sword. I'm telling you, we need to take what the enemy is fighting with and cut his own head off with it. Again, I'm talking spiritually. Okay? They bring all this stuff like, well, we're the ones that really love. No, we'll take that sword back. That's our sword. We love. We love because we have a God who loves. We have an enemy. We face Goliaths. The enemy's champion, listen, was 9 foot 9 tall, they're estimating by what the scripture says. His bronze coat alone weighed 125 pounds. Some of you in here don't even weigh 125 pounds. I did when I was 4. You didn't have to laugh. His spear had a point that weighed 15 pounds. Almost 2 gallons of milk was just the head of his spear. That's how heavy it was. That's how big Goliath is. He had a bronze javelin and a bronze helmet. He was larger than life, and he was terrifying. Cancer, larger than life and terrifying. 9 foot 9 monster sometimes. Don't always understand why. Some are healed and some aren't. I don't have that answer. Other than I know his ways are not my ways. But I'll tell you this, we pray for the victory and we walk in the victory and we walk to see that person victorious either on this side or the other. Somebody say amen. David was of average height. He had a stick and a stone. Are you hearing me? God don't have a complaint department. You know where that comes from. Oh Lord, if I just had a little more money, I would go do this. Or Lord, if I just had a little more time, I would be able to do that kind of ministry. No. Lord, I got a stick and a stone, and I'm not even sure I have a stone, so I got a stick. Can you help me, God? David had something that Goliath would never have. David had the Lord of hosts on his side. Church, you have the Lord of hosts on your side. Settle it. Can you get it in your head? You have the Lord of hosts on your side. We've all had, and we all will have, continue to have Goliaths in our life. Larger than life problems that taunt us. Every one of us have things we're going through. And if we're not right now, don't get too comfortable. Because you have been or you will be, but it doesn't matter. As was said, our home is not here. It starts now, but we're headed somewhere else. We must always remember, like David, we have the Lord of hosts on our side. Billy Graham is quoted as saying this. He said, when Satan knocks at my door, I simply ask Jesus, would you mind answering that for me? I think that's a good word to say. We talked about it before. They had no business even entertaining Goliath. Some of you got no business entertaining the giant, but you are. I don't know what that's all about. No. You need to put that aside, put that behind you, and move on. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We, as saints of God, have the luxury, and I'm going to call it a luxury, to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. The name above every name, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Amen? Now, if you don't know that Lord of hosts this morning, don't leave this building without asking him. Don't leave this building without making it right with God. Our days are not promised to us, but we have a home awaiting. Pastor Carl dealt with it pretty good last night out of John 14. My Father has many mansions, and if it were not true, I would not tell you. And I have gone to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you're going to come also. Amen? Stand with me. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it is to know we're your children. Lord, let us walk like it, talk like it, live like it, and understand it, God. Lord, we come against an enemy who constantly tries to give us an identity, to give us a label. And so, Lord, I come against labels now in the name of Jesus. I come against health labels in the name of Jesus, that this person has this, or this person is such and such, or any of these 3 or 4 letter descriptions that seem to show up all the time, and that the world seems to have a pharmacy to deal with. God, I come against those now in the name of Jesus, and I proclaim that everyone in the sound of my voice who, who has confessed and professes that you are Lord, Lord God. Their identity is in you and you alone as a child of God, a son or daughter who is loved by the living God, by the Lord of hosts, who will make a way for every provision that they need. So, Father, I pray now that you will do a mighty work in our lives, Lord God. We look forward to what it is you're going to do. God, we're not hung up on the past. We know that we're forgiven. We know that we are cleansed. We know that we are made righteous. Lord, if Moses struck an Egyptian and killed him, and if David did all he did with adultery and killing, and then we see Paul stand by and murder, and yet, Lord God, you say that these are men who are crowned. So, Lord, they're crowned for this simple reason. They made you their God. So God, this morning we make you our God. We bless you and we praise you and we ask for forgiveness. And we receive the cleansing that you have for us. And we walk in it, Lord God. We have hope like there's no hope ever before. We praise you and give you all the glory. And all God's people who are in agreement with that prayer said, amen, amen. Selah, bless you. We'll see you next week. Have a great week, guys. Go in the Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. You know, we would love to invite you to come and visit us in person sometime if you're ever in our area. You can find us at 415 Union Street in Milton, Delaware, where we have prayer and worship services on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., Bible study on Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., and a Sunday morning worship service at 10:30 a.m. We would love to minister to your children as well. We offer children's church during the adult service. Children are excused to go back to their classes right after the worship time. You can also find more information about us on the web at unionstreetmeetinghouse.org or on Facebook at Union Street Meeting House. So we look forward to sharing the message with you next week. Hope you'll return to this podcast. Thank you so much, and God bless you.